ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सो टुडे वी विल सी द समरी ऑफ चैप्टर 10 ऑफ द भगवद गीता विभूति योग, the yoga of supreme manifestation. Vibhuti means glories. So the glories of the Lord, what is discussed here, this comes in the middle portion of the Gita, and the first portion talks about the individual nature and emphasizes on the karma yoga. The middle portion talks about the nature of the Lord, Ishvara, Swarupa, and it talks about bhakti yoga, emphasizes on bhakti. And the last portion talks about the connection between the Lord and the individual, the essential nature being the same, and it emphasizes on the jnana. So the first six chapters, you can say, emphasizes on action. The second six chapters talks about the attitudinal change. Now, Einstein is a great scientist, but he's really great because he made a sentence which is attributed to him. So he said, what is my knowledge compared to my ignorance? So it's that attitudinal change. However great you may be, you understand the insignificance of this manifested individual personality vis-a-vis the totality. So that attitudinal change is what makes you a human being. It's the potential a human being can reach consciously. So as you do that, you become Mahatma. So now all of us are human beings. But why Mahatma Gandhiji was called as Mahatma? Because he reached such a level internally, that internal change. So working on one's inner personality and bringing about that change is the ultimate evolution that a human being can aspire for. And some people who reach that level, we call them Mahatmas. So this attitudinal change we can actually see in Arjuna also. When we go through these chapters, from the question that Arjuna asks, you can clearly see the attitudinal change that Arjuna has come to achieve. And the very first chapter, if you remember, it tells Sri Krishna, Senayor Bhayor Madhye Ratam Sthapaya Me Achyuta. Take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. So, from that, assigning, resigning everything to the Lord. This is the bigger understanding a human being comes to. A human being comes to this kind of an understanding and resigns everything to Lord. Swami Ramtirtha beautifully says, resign everything to the Lord and relax. So, the real relaxation comes when you resign everything to the Lord and you become a trustee. Otherwise, you have this sense of ownership. So that kind of an attitudinal change is what brings about the excellence. So there is a vast difference between success and excellence. So when you become egoistic and you start pumping the ego and function world, you can become successful. But you achieve that excellence, that inner blossom, everything happens when you bring about the attitudinal change. So when your action is underlined by the right attitude, the higher attitude, then it converts success into excellence. So this is what he talks about here. This you will see when Arjuna asks a question here, the change in the attitude. So that is all these chapters are all about. And also these two chapters, especially chapter 10 and 11, are also very important chapters. Now, in bhakti, the whole concept that Sri Krishna said earlier in the 7th chapter, if you remember, he said, the world is me I am in them. Sorry. Yeah. The world is in me. I am in them. The world is in me. I am not in them. And then world is not in me also. This is how he said first. So initially, when we live in this world, we understand this world as a creation and we separate the creator from the world. A human being has what is called a subtle intellect. So with the subtle intellect, we posit something beyond the world, something beyond the terrestrial world. A believer is one who accepts that postulation. An atheist is one who rejects the postulation. But both can see something beyond and above the world. One accepts, one rejects. So the subtle intellect is there. So when an individual starts fine-tuning oneself in the subtle intellect, then the individual begin to understand through the Shastra what is really the creation and creator relationship. Now, why this creator-creation relationship is extremely important is as we understand that, it brings about a transformation within. That transformation within is what makes you a wise person. Otherwise, you are a learned person, informed person, not transformed person. So that is what is the discussion in these two chapters. So in the Upanishad, if you go to the Mundaka Upanishad, when the Shishya approaches the Guru and says, would like to know that knowing which nothing remains to be known. And then the Guru answers that there are two knowledges. One is Aparavidya and the other is Paravidya. And then he slowly comes to the example of spider. And all that he wants to explain there is that this initial understanding that you have, that the creation is separate, creator is separate. And when you see the creation, you don't see the creator. Creator is far away, far removed. You can't have any relationship with that creator. And therefore, our mind brings about all sorts of postulations and imaginations about God. So, there in the Upanishads, very clearly the Shruti explains that the world is made up of God. The material with which this world is made up is God. The Upadana Karana and Nimitta Karana. For everything, there is some material cause and intelligent cause. Like for the pot, the material cause is the clay, the intelligent cause is the pot maker. Like the pots that Shweta makes. The intelligent cause is Shweta, the pots are material causes, clay. So, the two different things are there called Nimitta and Upadana Karana. So when it comes to divinity, when it comes to the world, the Shruti explains that divinity, the pure consciousness, is both the Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam. How is it possible? Then the Upanishad says, just like the spider spins the web from itself, from its own saliva. Yatorna nabhi srijate grinnate cha. So, just like from the spider, the web is created. The cobweb comes out of the fiber, the spider, and then it draws it back into itself. Similarly, the world has emerged from God, from the divinity. So, therefore, the material cause and the intelligent cause for the world is God. Now, with this understanding, when your subtle intellect fine tunes into this, then what happens is you see God everywhere and everything. God thereafter is not far removed from you. It is in your daily relationship and interactions. So that brings about a transformation with it. Then you become a wise person. That bhakti is there. So that's what he's talking about here. And this is not known by everyone. Now this chapter has only 42 verses. Now, again, this chapter is split into four topics by Swamiji. The first topic is knowing its supreme nature, the wise attain Brahman. How attaining Brahman, we have said it time and again, it is not something that you have to achieve. It is already that. You are Brahman. You just need to dissolve all these conditionings, these vasanas. So it's not an attainment in that sense. It is more of an attunement. It is more of a sublimation. It's more of a dissolution. So when you gain this knowledge, then you are able to see the supreme nature of Brahman vis-a-vis the insignificance of the individual. And however great the achievements of the individual may be, still with reference to the total, it is nothing. So this is why Einstein said, what is my knowledge compared to my ignorance? So he says, knowing the supreme nature of Brahman, the wise person attains Brahman. So, who is wise and who is unwise? The wise perceive the big circle. They see from the total point of view. Unwise sees from the individual point of view. That's all. So he says, the wise attain Brahman because they see the big circle and they see themselves as a small circle. The small circle is in the big circle. So they attune themselves with the big circle. So this knowledge, when you understand, this attunement happens. Thy will be done, not my will be done. So from domination, one goes to sublimation. From lust, one goes to love. Bhakti. And bhakti is all about dissolution of the individual self. So, thus, that transformation happens and the wise person merges with Brahman. So, Sri Krishna, in the beginning of this chapter, in this first topic, numbers 1 to 11, which is called as knowing its supreme nature, the wise attain Brahman, offers to give this knowledge to Arjuna and says, why? Because you are delighted to listen to this. Now, even though you may be an extremely learned person and all that, not everyone is delighted to listen to this. See, we are all full of ears when somebody praises us, isn't it? We all like to listen to somebody praising us. But very few are really interested in the praise of the Lord. Now, as the change happens within, slowly, slowly, you stop talking about the individual glory because you understand the individual glory is a reflected glory. The real glory belongs to the Lord. This again is beautifully brought out in the Keno Upanishad. In the end, third and fourth part of Keno Upanishad, there is a war between Devas and Asuras. And Devas, with the help of Brahman, conquer the Asuras. And generally what happens, once we conquer the Asuras, now in the present context, if you conquer the coronavirus, supposing the vaccine is brought out, immediately bottoms up, celebration starts. Forget about everything. Now yesterday, I was talking to one of my cousins who lives in Coimbatore in Tamil Nadu. He said Coimbatore is absolutely free of corona appearance, I believe. I don't know. Maybe hardly one or two cases or maybe no case. So they opened up everything and he said everything is absolutely normal. Only Chennai is worse. So he said all buses are operating, everything is operating, people are all following the rules, are made to follow rules or whatever. So bus, entrance, out, that is exit. Nobody cares earlier. The conductor has a seat, poor fellow, he sits there, but he has to go in the front and give them the bus. Nobody give in the front and give them the ticket. Nobody cares. Everybody gets in the front and this and that. So he has to struggle a lot. But the way they have designed this, he will sit next to that entrance and people enter, he gives the ticket and they go in. Nobody was following it. Now, apparently, everybody is following. So that's what I said. I think corona is a blessing if you look at it from that angle. Everybody started following the norms. See, unfortunately, it is very, very unfortunate. Instead of knowledge, it is fear that is making us follow all this. Why should it be that way? Should not be fear, you know, it should be the knowledge, it should be the awareness. So here again, slowly, from the individual comfort and praise, Arjuna, you have now moved, you are delighted to listen to the glories of the Lord, therefore I talk to you. So this is why we say knowledge is never given, it is taken. And the more you bring about the change, the more the knowledge will go within. That is precisely why we emphasize on this sadhana along with the knowledge. A lot of people say this. So compared to the first time when I read the Gita, second time when I read it, was, you know, magical. Now, what is magical? There is no magical. You have brought about some change in you, then it starts revealing certain subtler aspects to you. That's the beauty. See, you, if you really want to enjoy, you got to give yourself into it. Attune yourself. But ego is, you separate yourself. When you separate yourself, you don't enjoy it. You got to give yourself into it. People celebrate Holi. Now you stand in, you know, a little away and then look at them. You don't get the same joy of celebration. And you forget about your clothes getting soiled and all that. You just enter and then become like a child. Forget about everything. Then you are actually celebrating. So this is what Gita wants. When you give in, the Gita starts revealing itself through you. So he says, O Mahabaho, O mighty armed Arjuna, listen again to my supreme word which I will speak to you, who are delighted for your welfare and speak. Our real welfare is in dissolution of ego. But we would like to be praised and glorified. We forget about the divinity. We forget the bigger circle. That's the basic idea. So So he says, no, you are interested in that. Therefore, I speak to you. And then he says, people who are sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, all different people, sages, devas, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Because it is guna atita. Guna atita means beyond gunas. You become one with Brahman when you cross the gunas. When you are stuck with gunas, you don't achieve it. So that is precisely why you got to learn to manage the gunas and go beyond the gunas. So he says, neither the hosts of gods nor the great sages do not know my origin, for in all respects I am the source of all the gods and great sages. No sattvic, no rajasic, no tamasic, nobody knows. Why? Because I am the origin, I am the the sound emanates from silence, exists in silence, dissolves in silence. Now, we see the silence before the sound emerges, we see the silence after the sound submerges, we don't see the silence when the sound is there, because we are lost in the sound. So as long as you are preoccupied with the world, you don't see the silence. As long as you are preoccupied with the sound, you don't see the silence. You don't perceive the silence. You don't experience the silence. So he says, none of them know me. I am unborn. I am not manifesting less. Infinite. Substrat. So that substrat is not attain. That you own up. Allow it to reveal itself. And for it to reveal, you've got to dissolve. Remember this. When you are there, God is not there. God is there, you are not there. When you are there, work is not there. When the work is there, the worker is not there. Generally, a person may be a chatterbox talking too much. You put him on a podium, he becomes self-conscious, he can't talk. So the more and more we are ego-conscious, it actually becomes an obstruction. We don't enjoy. Higher on the ego, you begin to enjoy. Is in self-forgetfulness, not in self-enforcement. See, the more and more you are with silence, initial more of this, and then you is nothing. Apparently, Babar said, please bury me with both my palms out, let the world understand that I went with nothing. You come with nothing, you go with nothing. Like we discussed before, if at all you go with something, it is only the gunas, the transformation that you brought with, nothing else. You can't say, this is just an example, don't take it personal. By chance, any one of us who is attending this class, including me, I'm saying, and I have to reincarnate in some other birth. I can't say. Let us assume that next Janma also I'm talking on Bhagavad Gita. I can't say last Janma I did summary of 10. So let us start from summary 11. I studied up to 10. Now 11 onwards I'll start. No. You will not remember these verses and all that. But the sattva, rajas, tamas content will continue. What you did with that, that's the only thing that you take. So, he says, you are delighted. This is not the knowledge that is known by everyone because it is not an objective comprehension. It is a subjective apprehension. The real subject within is the Atma. But today we are assuming the subject to be what? What is the subject according to us? Madhuji, you got to unmute yourself.
The body.
Body. Pritaji says body. Anybody else?
Subject is ourselves.
Mind. We are understanding ourselves to be the mind, the subject, the thought. But the thought itself is lent sentiency by the divinity. When the pure consciousness strikes the thought, you become conscious of the thought. So the sentiency to the thought is lent from the divinity. So therefore he says, he gives various characteristics. Not only the external world, the inner characteristics, everything has emerged from that Brahman. From the sublime to the gross. Everything has emerged from the divinity. As you go deeper and deeper, get closer and closer to the divinity, it becomes more sublime and divine. As you go far away from divinity, it becomes more gross. Are you seeing it? See, you the sand is there. You keep on eating the sand, what will it become? What will it be? Huh?
Silica?
Huh? Some track, it will be transparent. Lens out of it, right? You keep on crushing it. Sand. The glass that you have fitted is not sand. But gross, it is fake. It is, you know, goes through the process, it becomes transparent. So when it is transparent, the light can pass through it. So the whole idea that he's trying to say is, make yourself transparent. We think, no. 10th chapter, 11th chapter, 12th chapter, then I understand this. And something happened. Suddenly when I finished the 18th chapter, last mantra, suddenly Krishna is in front of me. Nothing like that happens. The whole thing is, when I keep on removing these conditionings and the gross, and then I see the more and more light shining through. This is all he's saying. Swami Ramakrishna gives this example. Very interesting story, he says. There were two great painters in a kingdom. So the king wanted to kind of, make them both paint and decide who is the best. So he told them, come to the palace, and he gave them a huge hall. He said, one side of the wall is yours, one side of the wall is yours. Each one take 30 days. After 30 days, we'll come. Let's see your paintings and declare who is the best. So one painter came and started painting from day one. Other painter never came. He continued painting painter number one, and beautiful painting he was creating. Painter number two didn't come. He came on the 29th day, I suppose. No painting brush, nothing. He just brought the paint, what do you call that, emery sheet, that salt paper. He just brought that. And with that, he kept on polishing his wall, smoothing it. And he almost converted it into a mirror by doing that. So it was exactly on the opposite side of the other painter's wall, right? So the painting that the other painter had painted was reflecting in it with the depth. That's all he did. So that is what he's talking about in the middle portion of the Gita. It's not intelligence. So Swami Ramakrishna says that other painter simply brought the salt paper, the emery sheet. That's it. So we got to keep on purifying ourselves. And when we purify, then the divinity shines. Not otherwise. Otherwise, it doesn't shine. So therefore, he says, all these qualities have come from me. These are all my vibhuti. These are all my manifestations. And as in the beginning it is shining, as it becomes gross, it's not seen that way. So he says, I am the origin, dissolution, everything. Entire, anything that you can conceive externally, internally, everything is me. So then he says, therefore he says, to those people, desham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Meaning what? Satata yukti means one who is constantly united with that big circle. Having gained this knowledge that Brahman is both the nimitta karanam and upadana karanam, always remembering this and glorifying that, never slipping into the ego glorification, identifying with that Brahman, they are constantly through the body, mind, intellect, only attuned to Brahman. So the karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga. Desham satata yuktana. Constantly dwelling. Ever steadfast in the yoga, I give them buddhi yoga. What is this buddhi yoga? That I remove the dirt and give them the clarity to grasp it there. See, what is happening is, consciousness is reflected through the thought. Only consciousness you can't see. Just like only light you can't see. When light reflects to the object, you can see. So what is object plus light? So what is light? Whatever you see minus the object. Now this is just a theory. Remove the object, you can't see it. So light is object. Sorry, object plus light is what you see. So then what is light? You remove the object, what remains is light. So the consciousness reflects through the thought in the buddhi, and the moment it reflects, the reflected consciousness comes, Lakshmi Narayan comes. And the moment Lakshmi Narayan comes, Madhu comes, then what happens? The world simultaneously comes. And when the both come, then I get lost in the world. And when my perception is extroverted, I don't see it. So when I constantly fine-tune myself, then in the buddhi, I capture it. I have to capture it here, within me, not in the words. Just trying and struggling to understand the words, as if the divinity is in the words. No, it is within us. It is what strikes the thought and makes it express. You can't capture it with thought. So he says, out of mere compassion for them dwelling in the self, dwelling as the self, I dispel the darkness. See, you can only come to that level. That last merger is not in your hands. See, there again we need to understand that we are actually very, 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 very insignificant. Now, in the present context, we understand this very well. Because Corona has shown us that. However big you may be, you are nothing. Just sit at home. So, that's what he's saying. Out of mere compassion, I remove the darkness. I dispel the darkness born of ignorance by the shining lamp of wisdom. That last stage is in my hands. The whole thing is talking about the small circle and the big circle and the insignificance of the small circle. So in the very first topic, from verse number 1 to 11, Sri Krishna says, the wise people, knowing the supreme nature of the Brahman, they dissolve themselves by constant attunement through the karma yoga, bhakti yoga and jnana yoga. See, when you say karma yoga, what are you doing? You're praising the divinity through the action. When you say bhakti yoga, you are praising the divinity through the emotion. You say jnana yoga, you are praising the divinity through the thought. So, thought, word and deed, everything is glorifying the Lord, not glorifying the ego. Thus, they dissolve themselves and reveal the self from within. They attain the Brahman. This is what Sri Krishna says. Now, Arjuna asks. He asks for Sri Krishna to talk about the glories in detail. Right? So, that's why I said the change. Initially, take my challenge and place it in between Buddhas. Senayor bayor matye ratam sthapaya me achyuta. My chariot, my this thing, my achievements, my. And now, I don't want to talk about me, nothing. It is not worth talking about me. Keep quiet. Let us talk about the glories of the Lord. So I want to listen to that. That glory. So, how does Brahman pervade the world? How does one know Brahman? So from verse 12 to 18, this is what Arjuna is asking. How does Brahman pervade the world? You said that in the 7th chapter. So, it's continuation. Remember, 7 to 12 is this. So, in the 7th chapter, he said, world is in me. I am not in them. Then finally, he said, world is also not in me. That is explained here. That one sentence is explained in this chapter. So, Arjuna is asking, you are the Supreme Brahman, Supreme Abode, Supreme Purifier, the Eternal Divine Purusha, the Primeval God, Unborn, All Pervading, etc., etc., etc. He goes on glorifying the Supreme. So, the gods do not know you, demons do not know you, Sattva, Rajasic, Tamasic, nobody knows you. You yourself know yourself by yourself. So, I would like you to talk about that. So, you indeed, please speak without reserve. The divine glories. See, in the Bhakti Yoga, they talk about 9 steps. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Padasevanam, Vandanam, etc. So, as you subtilize yourself, you revel in discussions of these aspects. Initially, you are more interested in the world and all that. When that ruggedness and everything drops through the practice of sadhana, then you start enjoying the subtler aspects. That's what is showing here. You should indeed speak without reserve of your divine glories, by which glories pervading the world you exist. I would like to see you in each and everything and relate with you accordingly. Then you will see the oneness of divinity that is pervaded everywhere. You won't see the distinctions. You don't go by the gunas. So he says, how I may know you, O yogin, through constant meditation. In what all aspects I should think about you? Because you said, as you think, you shall, so shall I become. So I would like to only think of you. So my mind is going into various aspects. So please show me how you reflect in each of these aspects so that I can divinize my thoughts. This is what the Hindu culture does. The mind goes to wealth. They said wealth is goddess Lakshmi. See, the whole idea is you should keep your mind in God, not in the world. Now that's a very difficult thing. So what they did, wherever the mind goes, they divinized it. So if it's going to wealth, goddess Lakshmi. If it's going to power, God is Durga. It's going to knowledge, God is Saraswati, etc., etc. Everything is divine. There is nothing that is not divine. And thus, everything has to be dedicated to divine. When everything is dedicated to divine, the individual is dissolved and through that you realize the divinity. So there are various paths. The whole thing is that there is nothing considered to be good, bad, ugly. Everything divinized. That's it. So, first they introduce the dharma and then dharmically you pursue artha and kama and then you take your mind beyond and then come to moksha. So, dharma, artha, kama, moksha are the four goals purusharta that is talked about, and for this reason only. Ultimately, one is to merge the divinity. So as you start merging, the celebration starts. So he says, tell me in detail again, O Janardana, of your yoga and manifestation, for there is no satiety for me in hearing the nectarine. See, the gross you get neutralized, but with the subtle, you don't get neutralized. Anything that is gross, it has a shelf value. Anything that is subtle, the shelf value is infinite, subtlest. So here Arjuna asks Sri Krishna to speak about the glory of the divinity. So this portion is the actual main portion, Vibhuti, from 19 to 38, which is Brahman's supreme manifestation shown analytically. What is that shown analytically means? The next chapter is shown synthetically. So these two chapters are, like I said, that one line that comes in the seventh chapter. What is that? What is that? World is in me. I pervade the world. Everything in this world is me. World is in me. Right? World is me. So, he's saying, everything in this world, every aspect is nothing but divinity. So, the self in the world and world in the self. So, the divinity Brahman in the world is spoken first. What all aspects it is manifested. So, now, anything and everything is Brahman. Even stupidity is Brahman. But if you are not seeing Brahman in a intelligent thing, will you be able to see in stupidity? Impossible. If you want to know brass, the nature of brass, which is shining, but since it is exposed to the world, oxidization takes place and it is become black, dark. Now, when you remove the dirt, the shining, which is its original nature, comes up, reveals itself. Isn't it? So, when Arjuna is asking what all aspects I need to think of you, Krishna is showing the shining brass vessel, not the brass vessel that is conditioned by oxidization. So you're getting it? So he shows the best things in everything and then says, this is me, this is me, this is me, this is me. We can't go into the details, but some of them are very, very interesting. But the most interesting thing is when he starts and ends. Very, very interesting. In the beginning he says, when he says, I will declare to you my divine glories, he says, I am the self, O Gudakesha. Gudakesha means what? Huh? Gudakesha, the lord of sleep.
Overcome sleep.
One who has overcome sleep, one who has overcome tamas, ignorance, atma. So, I am the self of Gudakesha. Means what? If you are in sleep, you don't see it. But if you wake up, you will see it. If you are alert, you will see it. So he says, I am the self that pervades everything. Seated in the hearts of all beings, I'm shining. I'm the pure consciousness. Everything has come out of me. I am the beginning, middle and end. This is what he says in verse number 20. And when you go to verse number 38, the end, very interesting. He says, I am the scepter of rulers, I am the righteousness of those who seek victory, and also I am the silence of secrets, I am the knowledge of knowers. So So in the beginning and in the end, he says, I am that pure consciousness. I am that knowledge, unconditioned, pure knowledge. The world is protected. Now, the pure consciousness is that pure knowledge. That is me. And that manifests in all these aspects, various things. So he goes on saying, I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that. Everything he talks about. So, in fact, some of the things that he points out also is lot of meaning is there in it, which we have seen in detail when we did the 10th chapter. But when you actually understand the spirit of what he's trying to say, he's only trying to say that the pure consciousness, when it shines in the subtle body and it comes to the gross, from the transparent, it becomes opaque. So whenever you talk about Hiranyagarbha, the subtle body, you talk about the Hiran, the golden, the shining. Why the subtle body is called shining? Because the grassness is not yet happened. So as you purify yourself through the sadhana, then you start seeing the shine within. You capture it within. So therefore he identifies with each and everything that is best and says, this is me, this is me, this is me. So the first thing he says, the Aditya, the sun. Sun is that which gives light and vitality to the entire earth. So he says, I am Aditya. So yeah, am I not the world? Of course. Am I not the earth? Of course. Everything he goes on explaining from within, without, completely he talks about. He even says, I am that gambling thing in a gambler. So, some people ask this doubt. He says, of the Vedas, I am Sama Veda. What about the other Vedas? All Vedas, it is the same thing. Sama Veda is musical. It attunes you. When anything you say, if you say it with music, it goes into you. Music has its own way of getting things into you. So therefore he says, I am Samaveda. So like that, each and everything that he says. And then he says, I am what? Of the Vrishnis, I am Vasudeva. Of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Meaning what? I am here within you men. What are you searching for me so far away? If you want to get to the divinity, you got to go within you. I am close. I am not far. I am far for people whose thoughts are of the world. I am close for the people whose thoughts are within me. You can right now realize me, but since you are lost in the world, you don't realize me. So therefore, he says, I am the best in everything. I'm Yama of controllers. Without Yama, this world will be chaos. Probably Yama has taken up the coronavirus now. So the whole thing is controlling. There has to be some kind of a balance. So everything is me. I am the Ishwar. So submit to me. See, in the Vaishnava concept, it's a beautiful concept. They have what is called as prapatti, sharanagati. No, finally it is sharanagati. They surrender everything to divinity. In fact, if you go to the Vaishnava culture, they smear the namam on the throughout the body. And some of them even have the Sri Chakra on their body. So the whole thing is what? I am, as an individual, the small circle in the big circle. Now when you go through this, what happens? When you are Sharanagati, what happens? That's the beauty. when you continue sharanagati, the river surrenders to the ocean. What happens to the river?
Merges with the ocean.
So when it merges with the ocean, what happens?
It loses itself.
When it loses itself, what happens?
It becomes the ocean.
When it becomes the ocean, what happens?
Then it has no identity of its own. It's just, there's no I-ness, then it's over.
So then what happens?
Becomes Brahman.
Becomes water vapor again.
It becomes Brahman again.
Yeah.
I mean, it is Brahman.
It becomes
okay.
One with one.
Have you seen Ramayana in the... You all of us seen, right? In the TV. Especially I'm saying TV because in the show. See, otherwise when you read the book, you have to imagine. Which is good actually, reading. But when you watch the TV, and they talk about Hanumanji. Hanumanji is confronting a Rakshas. And Hanumanji is small monkey god. Rakshas is there. And to fight with Hanumanji, the Rakshas suddenly does like this. And then slowly the Rakshas becomes big. Hanumanji is looking small. Then after some time, Hanumanji laughs and then he puts his hands like this. And then he keeps on growing. And he becomes bigger than the Rakshas and gives one punch and the Rakshas dies. So all these kind of things you see in the television channels. Right? So what you understand from that is, in the beginning, you are identifying with this small circle. And when the small circle gains this knowledge and slowly, slowly dissolves, the small circle becomes big circle. When small circle becomes big circle, no challenge is a challenge. Today, it's a very big challenge. When you become the big circle, no challenge is a challenge. That's the whole idea. So the inner change happens. Initially, you think you are a slave. Then you understand that you are the master. That change comes. But when the change comes, it comes with humility, not with arrogance. That's what he says. So, today we think we are small and we are begging for pleasure. Oh, eyes, give me some pleasure. Oh, nose, give me some pleasure. Oh, ears, give me some pleasure. You know, this is the level. And once this transformation comes, you understand that they are in me, I am not in them. It's not ego. So that's what he says. So initially he says, the world I am pervading, I am in the world, they are in me. Then he says, they are in me, I am not in them. And then he says, they are also not in me. So when you really understand this and go, you actually go through all these changes in you. So you become a master rather than being a slave when you begin to understand these things. You begin to see all these things and you dissolve your ego. You then first see God everywhere in the world. And when you see God everywhere, you dissolve the small circle in the God. And when you keep doing this, then you understand what he's finally saying. What? World is in me, I'm not in them, and world also is not in me. It was brought about by the ignorance, by the Maya. So, this is the whole concept. So, he talks about various glories from 19 to 38 and then 39 to 42. The last topic. Brahman transcends the world, a mere fragment of its being. This again is a fascinating portion. All that he says is, this list is not endless, first of all. Whatever he said from 19 to 38, he says it's not a complete list. It's incomplete. You can add whatever you want. How much ever you want to add, add, because the world itself is infinite. So you can keep on going. Then we'll be stuck with the 10th chapter, 18th chapter will never come, war will not start. So he says, Baba, no way. This is a very small list I provided to you. You can add to the list how much ever you want. And then he says, what is the use of all this list, man? What is the use of all this list? Having pervaded all this, I remain independent of it. But what is the knowledge of these details to you, O Arjuna? Having pervaded this entire universe by one fragment, I remain. This is a, what do you call it? A very interesting slideshow. I've got, somebody has sent it to me. Keeps on, you know, first the focus is on the earth, then other planets, goes. Finally, earth is not seen only. So that's what he's talking about. But what is the knowledge of these details to you? Why are you bothered about these details, man? Start feeling it, start seeing it. And when you start seeing and merging in it, you will understand that this whole world, which seems to be such a big thing, is nothing. I am far beyond that and completely independent. So when you understand that, that happens to you. You become independent of the world. You become objective and independent of the world. So this transaction, this transformation happens within as you go through this knowledge. So that's what slowly it comes down to our level and takes us. First you see God separate from the world. Then you understand that the world is God. Then you understand the world is not the world and God exists independent of the world. And that divinity is your true nature and you remain independent in life. And when you attain that independence, you are a state of mind. Thereafter, nothing touches you. No challenge is a big challenge for you. That's all. This is what he is trying to explain. So now, in this chapter, he explained God in everything. In the next chapter, everything in God. This is the Vishwarupa Darshan. Vishwarupa Darshan means what? You see everything in God. First, it is no God. You only see the world. Then, you imagine something and you have Ekarupa Bhakti. Then from Ekarupa Bhakti, you come to Vishwarupa Bhakti. Anekarupa. And then comes Arupa Bhakti. Where you merge. And you understand these names and forms of multitude and all these names and forms have come from divinity. They have no independent existence apart from divinity. And divinity is far beyond. And that is your original self. You own it up and you become independent absolutely. So this is what he is conveying in the 10th chapter. Now in the next chapter, Vishwarupa, he will show everything in one. That is Vishwarupa. So therefore this chapter is analytical. Next chapter is synthetic. So we'll be next week doing the summary of chapter 11. Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnas Purnamudachyate Om Vishanti Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyerva Budhyatmanava Budhyatmanava Prakate Swabhava Prakate Swabhava Karomi Adhya Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samarpayami Hari Om.